everyone. I'm Brandon Odo.
And I'm Brian Bowling.
And this is Critical Care Scenarios, the podcast where we use clinical cases, narrative storytelling, and expert guests to unpack how critical care is practiced in the real world. All right, hey folks, welcome back with another Turbo. Topic today is procedural. I want to talk about the phenomenon of what I think probably the best term for it is transfixing a vessel when you're performing vascular access procedures, placing central lines, arterial lines, IVs, and so on. And what transfixing refers to is when you're inserting a needle. This is usually for a Seldinger type technique, although it could be a simple puncture like you're doing an IV, whatever. Usually under ultrasound, although this could happen anytime, it's just you might not realize it unless you have visualization. And you approach the vessel and you enter it, and you not only enter the lumen of the vessel, you go all the way through and you leave the back wall. So you have kind of come in one side and gone out the other, and now you've left the vessel. Now, this is usually something you do unintentionally, but I want to explore this. You know, is it bad? Is it avoidable? How can you avoid it? Because it happens not infrequently. Is it a problem to do this? I think it's fair to say that it's probably not ideal. If for no other reason, then you are really leaving two holes in a vessel that could have had only one hole. If you could enter from the top and that is it, then great. Now, does it usually matter or make a huge problem to leave two holes? No. Maybe a little bit more of a potential problem in an artery, which is much more high pressure, and therefore more likely to have some bleeding from the second hole, because you're not going to fill that hole. You're going to come back out of the deep hole, and you're going to still fill up the superficial hole because you leave the catheter in, assuming that you successfully keep it in. But the deep hole is going to be open. Anytime you leave a hole in something and you don't fill it, that's something that could bleed. For a vein, hard to imagine it's a problem. These are such low pressure vessels. For an artery, maybe. But I think it's fair to say that as a general rule, less trauma to vessels is better. I think a more important risk is the risk of hitting some other structure. You obviously didn't mean to go through and through this vessel, and anytime you're going somewhere you didn't mean to go to, you could hit something you didn't mean to hit. Now, if there's nothing deep to the vessel but soft tissue, no problem. But most veins, or if you're going for an artery, vice versa, most vessels run in bundles with other structures. If you're going for a vein, there's probably an artery nearby, and vice versa. There's sometimes nerves nearby. And those are all things you could hit. And if you go through, let's say, an IJ vein, and there is a carotid artery just deep to that vein, now you could have a problem. So how much risk there is, you should be able to appreciate from your imaging, and you should give some thought if there is another structure just deep to the vessel you're looking at, if this is the best spot. Because it may be hard to completely eliminate risk of going through the vessel. Maybe you can go somewhere else where it's not quite so close, and sometimes it's a small matter. If you can get to a spot where the other structure is still deep to your vessel, but it's, you know, kind of just off to the side. So there's one half or like one third of your vessel that has nothing behind it. And then maybe you can come in kind of from that side or that angle and like favor that portion, just kind of giving yourself as much clear area deep to the trajectory of your needle as possible. Sometimes that's the best you can do. But if you can, I think you should, because sometimes it's hard to avoid this. Overall, I think the most important risk is doing this and not realizing it. And this is one of the best arguments for using ultrasound, because can you get into vessels, you know, using veins as an example for a central line? Can you do it blindly? Yes. Does it sometimes take a while? Yes. Sometimes can you never get it? Yes. But if you get in there and you get a nice flash of blood, you feel good. You think you're in. But you don't know that you didn't go through one vessel to get to another. You have no visualization. All you know is that the tip of your needle and then the tip of your catheter, once you put it in, is in a vessel and hopefully the correct one. But if you're going for a vein, you don't know you didn't go through an artery to get there, or vice versa. And this is a real possibility. And I think it's really not good. having a device that is left in place running through one vessel into another, I think is a very high risk for causing anatomic defects. Things like pseudoaneurysms and fistulas between these vessels. These are a real thing. And without imaging, I think you're not going to realize. So at the very least, if you're using ultrasound, you know, try to appreciate these things. You know, when you're looking at your needles, when you're looking at your wire, your catheter after, it's not just, is it in the right vessel? It's, did it go through something else to get there? Now, some people will actually transfix vessels intentionally. And you can make a case for that in certain vessels. And really when this comes up is, frankly, when it's just really that hard to avoid. Some vessels are very collapsible. So it is very hard to breach through their kind of top edge without applying enough pressure that you've collapsed the vessel. And when you pop through, you go through the bottom edge too. And you'll see this. You've navigated to the vessel and you're pressing it and you're tenting the edge and you push and push and the edge just keeps tenting. And it tents so deeply that as you press it hard enough, it touches the deep wall. The two faces approximate. And you're still not through, but you're like, if I can push harder, eventually I'll go through this, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to go through both together. There's like not really a sweet spot there because the vessel is so squishy that when I apply pressure to it, I lose the lumen. So using the argument that it's better to avoid, how do you avoid this? There are tricks. You could try to lower or flatten the angle of your needle so that the trajectory it's taking is flatter to the vessel, meaning there is more distance along that angle until you hit the back wall. The steeper the angle, the less distance there's going to be. You could try to breach the wall of the vessel using faster movements. You know, very slow, steady pressure has a hard time getting through anything. So, kind of counterintuitively, you may have better luck kind of popping through. You don't want to make a big movement, and this applies to most needle movement. You want to make a small movement still, but it should be a fast, kind of jerky movement to try to pop through. Some people, I mean, I've seen this argued, and I've tried that. Honestly, I haven't had a lot of luck, but you can try it a bit. As you're applying pressure, you can try it to rotate the needle a little. Just a bit of twisting, and you can imagine how that might help the tip to kind of carve through the vessel. Now, there's a limit to this. I mean, you're not like corkscrewing in like an IO needle. I don't think that would even work if your fingers could even do that. And I imagine there would be some weird trauma to the wall, but it's just a small kind of drill bitting motion. You can see if that helps you. I haven't found a lot of luck with it. Now, ironically, because I said flattening the angle, you could also argue for the opposite. A steeper angle may make it easier to go through the back wall, but it may make it easier to get through the near wall because you're hitting the vessel more acutely. It's just, it's sharper, so to speak. So that can be kind of hard to know where to go with that. Sometimes kind of coming in with a steeper angle on your needle will make it easier to enter vessels. And then, you know, if you do get in, you probably need to flatten your angle out to make it easier to feed wires and catheters. I think the most important two things really are, first of all, to hit your vessel at the absolute top. So if you're looking at it in cross-section on an out-of-plane ultrasound image, it is not good enough to navigate your needle to the top-ish edge of the vessel. If it's a clock face, you can't be at 1 o'clock or 10 o'clock. You can't even be at like 11:30, 11:45. You want to be at absolute 12 o'clock. The absolute apex of that dome. Because as you apply pressure and tent that surface, you need a symmetrical tent. You need your pressure to be going straight down the center of the vessel. And that's for plenty of reasons. Some vessels are just rolly enough that as you apply pressure, you will just skim out of it. Your needle will just push the vessel out of the way and you won't be able to get in. But also, the more compliant the vessel, this is how you get the most kind of distance for your needle to go. This is always really important, and this is why I always emphasize when people are doing needle following, you're not going for the general ballpark of this vessel. As you navigate, make sure you're absolutely pointed at the very peak of it. Because as you go, you're going to get more off. And if you get there and you're even a little off, you're going to have a hard time. The absolute tops where you want to go. The other thing that may help you reliably is just to improve the physiology. So the higher the intravascular hydrostatic pressure in this vessel at the point where you're at, the more plump it'll be, the more resistant to pressure, and the easier time you'll have getting in without going all the way through. So if you're going in something like an IJ above the diaphragm, if you can lay the patient down more in more of a Trendelenburg, you know, the steeper you get, the more pressure you'll get in there, the more volume you'll pull to that spot. Now, can every patient tolerate being like upside down? Maybe, maybe not. You only need to do this for a very short time. You know, once your needle's in and then your wire, you can get them back up some, but, and maybe you can give them some volume. There are definitely patients that have been like, these vessels are flat. Can we give this patient a little bit of a fluid bolus maybe? You got to integrate that into the context of the patient, but it's a very reasonable thing to think, especially because if you've got a patient in shock, I mean, this may be a useful marker that your patient needs some volume. People like looking at things like IVCs, but other veins can also tell you a story about volume status. And your patient's on escalating pressors or something. Maybe they got a little volume and you thought they were good, but you're looking at these veins and they are like flat and they are totally collapsing with the patient's breathing. You know, no test is perfect, but that may be suggestive that they would benefit for other reasons from getting a little bit of volume. Just something to think about. Now, I said people will sometimes transfix vessels intentionally, and I've mostly heard about this as a technique for arterial lines, and I think, I want to say more in the pediatric world, like pediatric anesthesia, but some people teach it this way. They're like, you go through, and then you get the vessel, and you get your flash as you come back, as you retract. And as I said, I think it's not ideal because you just want to minimize how many holes are in things, but I think we do have to accept that sometimes it has to be done. Not necessarily intentionally, you're trying to not go through, but sometimes you will, and sometimes you just have to get your access on the way out. And that will always be easier because you don't have this forward pressure trying to collapse the vessel. As you retract, your pressure is actually kind of opening the vessel up, and it just becomes much easier. So, you know, accept on some level that this is going to happen. It's not necessarily avoidable, and it's not necessarily a huge problem as long as you avoid those other complications, hitting other structures, making fistulas, things like that. That's my take. The only thing I'll add is that, you know, for people who are learning vascular access and needle guidance, it is always a truism that one of the most common errors to be made is your needle getting deeper than you meant because they get ahead of the plane of their ultrasound, they don't realize, and they just end up deep. And therefore, it's really common to go through things and not even realize it. So if you ever lose track of your needle, I would assume that it's deeper than you expected. I would bring my probe forward and go looking, and you realize, oh, I thought I was tracking the tip, which was like in the middle or near the top of the vessel. Actually, I was deeper than that. My tip got ahead of my ultrasound, and my tip was in the deep wall or through it. I need to come back. And honestly, as you retract your needle is often a good time to catch sight of it again if you kind of lost it. That kind of traction effect seems to help your visualization sometimes. That's why I always reinforce to learners, keep your eye on the ultrasound screen as you're retracting or as you're doing anything, because that's the moment when you're going to find yourself again. And when you look away to look at Lord knows what, nothing's happening in your hands or anywhere else that's going to be useful, you're going to lose that important feedback. I know where your needle is because I'm looking at the screen, but you don't. You got to look up and find it again, and you don't want to do that. So as you retract or as you do anything else, you keep watching that screen, and maybe you'll be able to find your tip again. That's what I think. Let me know what you guys think. Such a common phenomenon, common error, sometimes avoidable, sometimes not, just part of vascular access. I'll talk to you next time.